Well, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Nice that we're so lively this morning. Firstly, welcome, everybody, as we worship the Lord this morning. If you're visiting with us, we particularly welcome you this morning. We trust that you'll have a good time of fellowship with us. We're serving tea and coffee after the service, so everyone's welcome to stay and continue a time of fellowship. And because it's so hot today, if anybody feels a need for some water, there are some glasses of water at the rear of the church. So please feel free to get up and grab one if you need one. My name is Dave. I'm one of the members here, and I'm just leading this first part of the service. And then Paul Brown, also one of our members, he will carry on leading and preaching for us after the first song. Just a few notices. Colin is away this morning. He's preaching in Norfolk, so we'll remember Colin shortly in our prayers. Ian and Sue are away on holiday still this week, so we trust that they're having a good time. And then items for prayer in the fellowship, those who are unwell or in need at the moment. We particularly pray for Jackie Kirkham and the family in the sudden loss of her brother Chris. And then we understand this morning that Christine and Tanya are also unwell. So we pray for them. Okay, I want to open by just reading from Psalm 100. And the psalmist writes, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to gather this morning. Lord, as we come into your house, we want to worship you and praise your name. And Lord, we think of those who are not with us this morning. We particularly pray for Colin as he's preaching away. Pray that you'll bless him and bless the fellowship in Norfolk. Lord, we remember Jackie and the family at this sad time, and we just pray for your hand of comfort on them. And Lord, we remember Christine and Tanya, who are unwell, and we just pray that you'll heal them and restore them to health. We pray for any other needs in the fellowship which are unknown to us but known to you, and we pray that you will intervene in those situations, provide the comfort where it's needed, and the strength and encouragement where that's needed too. And Lord, we pray for Paul as he brings your word to us later on. We just pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to us this morning, and what you will say through him will challenge us and encourage us. So Lord, we just ask your blessing on us now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, our first song this morning is "See What a Morning."
Well, good morning, everyone. And thank Dave for just opening our time of worship together this morning. Just before we sing again, I'd just like to sort of introduce the aspect of what we're looking at this morning. You'll see, if you've looked at the notice sheet, that our theme is open for business. Christ is risen from the dead. We are the people of the risen Lord, and we're open for business. But what does that mean? Last week we were challenged through Colin's message, and he said this, that we should be ready about the business of sharing the gospel with the lost. And I want to sort of extend that and ask the question this morning, is that our business? Are we open for that this morning, to share the gospel? We're back from COVID, and it's great to see such a good number of people here this morning. We're opening up, aren't we? We're open. We're becoming more active as a church. But are we focused on the business of, I would say, pointing people to Jesus Christ? Are we going to be known for that as we go forward as a church? To be known as a people, pointing others to Jesus Christ. Is that what we're about? So that's our theme, that's the idea of the message this morning. And we're singing about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to sing now a couple of songs which speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first being that he is the eternal Son of God who took on flesh and lived a perfect life to save us. He died as our sacrifice, and with power he rose from the dead. We're going to proclaim through song the glory and the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our first song, I'm going to ask Hannah and Georgia to sing the first two verses, so please remain seated as they sing the first two verses. Then we'll stand together, sing, and then sing verses 3 and 4, and then we shall continue to sing. So thank you, Hannah and Georgia.
Robed in frail humanity.
was nailed to the cross, becoming sin for us, where we are forgiven. This is the power of the cross.
Thank you.
Our reading this morning is found in Matthew chapter 27, and we're going to start reading at verse 62, and we're reading through to chapter 28 and verse 10. That's Matthew chapter 27, verse 62 to 28, verse 10. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' And the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Amen. Let's turn to the Lord again in prayer. Let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the word. We thank you for your resurrection. We thank you for the hope and the life that it gives us. We thank you that it is a cause for rejoicing. Lord, we thank you that we can celebrate if we know you. Lord, we come together to worship you and to praise you. And we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the work on the cross. We thank you that the debt is paid. And we thank you that you are now reigning forevermore at the right hand of the Father until you come again. Lord, we praise you that we do have that certainty that you are returning. That if we are saved, if we are born again, we have that certainty within us. And Lord, we thank you that we can come together again and worship you and praise you on your day. Lord, we thank you for the wonders of your creation. Lord, we thank you for all that we see. We thank you for the sunshine and the rain. We thank you for the plants that grow and, Lord, the amazing creation that you have given to us to enjoy. Lord, we thank you that on this your day, your word is going out around the world. We thank you for the many fellowships which are meeting together and lifting their voices in praise and worship and prayer. And we pray that your word would go out, that your word would go out in power, that it would transform, that it would save. Lord, we thank you that we are able to gather together. We thank you that we are able to meet together in fellowship, one with another. And we ask that you would be with us, that you would help us, that you would encourage us, that you would encourage us in our fellowship, that we may encourage one another,
that we may cry out to you for one another, that we may lift each other up in prayer. Lord, we do again commit to you those in our fellowship who are troubled, who are worried, who have things going on in their lives that are difficult. Lord, we all of us face difficult circumstances, but Lord, we ask that you would be with those who are going through tough times right now, that you would lift them up and encourage them, and Lord, give them your peace. Lord, we do lift before you our government at this time in this nation. We do ask for your wisdom. Lord, we may have political views, but Lord, we ask that your will would be done. Lord, we ask that you would reign, that you would restore this nation once again to believing in you, to holding to the values of your word. Lord, we ask that you would restrain judgment, that you would hold your hand, and that you would instead revive us, your people, and that you would revive your nation. Lord, we commit to you the nations of the world. Lord, we look around and we see so many troubles and problems. And we know that your word says you have promised that there will be troubles, that there will be rumours of wars. But again, we commit it to you and we ask that your will would be done, that you would have the glory. Lord, we know that every knee shall bow, but we ask that your will would be done. Lord, we do commit to you the missions we support in this place. Lord, we ask for AsiaLink and the work that they do in so many countries, in equipping and teaching leaders in persecuted nations. Lord, we commit to you Zambezi Mission and the Bible College and all the work that goes on there. We commit to you Malcolm and Ruth as they return and as they close their term of mission and settle back in the UK. And Lord, Paul Garner and Lord, the other folk who are involved with Biblical Creation Trust, Lord, we hold to the values of the Bible and to the values of Genesis, and we do lift them up to you as they research scientifically and seek to support your word through the data that is available. Lord, we ask that you would bless them, bless the ministry, and bless the gospel that goes out along with that. Lord, all the preparation, all the modes of communication that they have and that they are using, we ask that you would bless that work. Lord, we pray for Danny and Doina, especially as they are coming up to the summer and the camp season with huge numbers of young people joining the camps and hearing your word, maybe for the first time, maybe for they have been before, but Lord, we ask that would bear much fruit. And Lord, likewise, we ask for the camp that some folk from here are going on in a couple of weeks' time. Lord, we thank you for the work that you did 3 years ago in saving so many young people on that camp. And Lord, we would ask that your Holy Spirit would work mightily again, not just on the camp that we are going to, but in the summer of the camps that go on. That you would bless the pastors and leaders who are preaching your word, and bless the studies that go on of your word. And Lord, we come back to us in this fellowship, and we do commit to you this morning again. We pray for Paul, we commit him to you, that you would speak through him by your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for the Sunday clubs and bashers, that your word would be proclaimed, maybe more simply but powerfully. Lord, we do commit to you our young people and ask that any who do not know you may come to know you soon. Lord, we commit all these things to you. But once again, we ask for your blessing on the word that is about to be preached. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, Paul asked me to do a kid's song, or choose a kid's song. And some of you might know it, some of you may not. But kids, if you're listening, don't tell the adults that this is a grown-up song too, okay? Okay? It's by Wren Collective, and my aim is that you go away singing the first line of the chorus throughout the rest of this day. I know Hannah's already said she's going to be. This is my resurrection day. And we pray that that would be the case. Let's play the video.
Resurrection day, nothing's gonna hold me down.
So we said earlier about being open for business. I want to ask the question, are we as a church open for business? What is it to be open? And what is our business? As we look at this passage here in Matthew's Gospel this morning, I hope we might be challenged to realise what our role is as God's people, collectively and individually. But also, I trust that we might be challenged to answer the question, what does the empty tomb mean to me? I was going to say, the first thing I'd like us to think about, what struck me, but not literally, was the stone. I looked at this passage over the Easter period, and it was interesting. At the time, I was reading a book several years old now, and some of you may have read it, called Who Moved the Stone? And that impacted upon me, the question of the stone. What I was encouraged and what challenged me was that the stone was rolled away. The stone was completely rolled away. That anyone could come and see and go in to the tomb. That was in fact the invitation that the angel gave to the Marys as they stood there. He says there in verse 6, come and see. Come and see. The stone had been completely rolled away. As a church, I believe that we need to be open. That the stone, any hindrance that we might cause or might have, should be rolled completely away. That people can come and see. There should be no restrictions. The church should be open to all. The stone was completely rolled away. It wasn't just cracked open. We see, as we read there, that the Pharisees, chief priests, they sealed the stone around the tomb. But it wasn't just cracked open so you could just look in to the tomb. It wasn't as though we could just try to peer in and perhaps, give me a torch just to say, yep, I don't think there's anything in there. Or it wasn't partially open, that somebody might just be able to squeeze in. It wasn't limited to certain people to go into the tomb. The tomb was completely open. The stone had been totally rolled away. And as God's people, we should have nothing to hide with our message. We should have nothing to hide. We should be open. We should be open as individuals. We should be open as a church. Fully open, nothing to hide. Not like a magician's act where somebody disappears from inside a box when the box is covered by a curtain. Everything needs to be on display. Nothing to hide. An openness and an honesty as people come in to the church, as people engage with us, with the gospel. We need to be open. And people need to know what we are about. I know it's perhaps a little symbolic, but some of you who are on door duty know that I love to see both doors open. In fact, there's only one door there that's in two halves. I like to see that open. In fact, if I'm honest, I'd like to see those two doors open as well. But I know Dave would complain because he'd have to put a heater above each door. Francis would probably be worried about the electricity bill. But the symbolism of that is to tell the people out there that we're open. Open those doors because we have something inside to show the people. We have something of value, something of worth. Move that stone away. Why? Because the tomb is empty. We have a message. And people need to know that we're open for business. And somehow or other, we as a church, we need to let those people know that there is something worth looking into as they come into this church. We need people to know it's worth coming to see what we're about here at Soham Baptist Church. Our business, I put to you this morning, our business is pointing people to Jesus Christ. And we have to be open to give people a reason to come and see that, to come and look for Jesus. That's what these ladies, Mary, the two Marys, were doing. The angel said, look, I know that you're looking for Jesus. I know you're looking for Jesus. Let's think about what we do, the effectiveness of what we do in pointing people to Jesus Christ. Perhaps as a church we need to reevaluate what we do and consider its effectiveness. The stone, you see, needs to be rolled away. And as a church, we need to be opened for business. What is that business? Well, first and foremost, let me encourage us this morning to say that business that we are in is God's business. It's God's business. And the world cannot prevent it from being successful. There's no economic disaster, no stock exchange collapse that can affect God's business. No work of mankind can thwart God's business. The death of Jesus was for his enemies the end. We know how the chief priests and the Pharisees stirred up the crowd to a hatred of the Lord Jesus Christ. The chief priests, the religious leaders and the leaders of the Jewish people saw Jesus as a threat. They saw him as an enemy. They considered his blasphemy as teaching, claiming to be the Son of God. They heard his teaching about the kingdom of God and how it was so different to their own, how it conflicted with what they taught. He was challenging the status quo. He was challenging their leadership. He broke the norm in so many aspects of society. He was accused of eating and drinking with sinners and tax collectors. He was their enemy. And to get rid of the Lord Jesus Christ, they saw that there was only one way that they would have him crucified. And that was the end, as far as I was concerned. But to be doubly sure that nothing else was going to come from this man, Jesus Christ, if there was nothing else from this man of Jesus, they were going to make sure that all that he said would not come true. They perceived and understood something of what Jesus taught about his resurrection. And so we read in those verses at the end of chapter 27, that they decided to make doubly sure that there was no way that that body could come out of that tomb. So we read that they went to Pilate. They sealed the tomb, we read, and put on guard, a guard of several soldiers to guard the tomb. So Pilate says to them, take a guard, several soldiers, go and make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone, around the stone, and posting the guard. What that seal was, we don't know. They're probably the equivalent of a super glue or no nails, as some of us might use today. They sealed the tomb and placed the guard there. The stone was not enough for them. They wanted some extra confidence that Jesus Christ was dead and that was going to be the end of it. The women, as they went, we read in Mark's Gospel, were concerned in how they were going to get into the tomb because of who was going to roll the stone away. We read in Mark's Gospel that the stone was a large stone and it would have been rolled down to the entrance of the tomb, so it would have been rolled down a slope, so So there'd been far much more energy, effort needed to roll the stone back. They may not have known about the seal and the guards, but they were certainly concerned. But they didn't have to worry, because you see, this was God's work. They were involved in God's work, but this is primarily God's work. What do we read in verse 2 of 28? We read that there was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. God came. This earthquake, again, something perhaps we might like to discuss Wednesday in the house groups. What an experience there must have been. But earthquakes is something that God deals in. It's God's work. We know, if you turn back just a page in verse 27, chapter 27, verse 51, when the Lord Jesus cries out in a loud voice, he gives up his spirit on the cross. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and from top to bottom, the earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the dead were raised to life. And here's another earthquake, and the stone is rolled away and the dead are raised to life. This is God's work. And God's work here by rolling the stone away was to reveal a greater work of God, that the tomb was empty. The one who had been crucified was no longer there. You see, this was God's plan and God's purpose. It all happened just as he said it would. The angels say to the Marys, he is not here, he is risen, verse 6, just as he said. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the chief priests, they had heard Jesus speak of his resurrection. And that's why they wanted the stone to be sealed and the guard put in place. This is something that Jesus himself taught the disciples. We read that just going back into chapter 16. There was a period of time when Jesus spoke and taught his disciples in a more private way. It got to a point in his ministry where he set aside time to speak to his close disciples, those that would become the apostles. And we read in chapter 16 that from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and chief priests and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. And that was one of the aspects of Peter, one of the first church leaders. His first sermon recorded in Acts chapter 2 was again on that lines. He challenged the people that what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ was all part of God's plan and purpose. He says to the people, you handed him over to the authorities to kill him, to have him done away with, and yet God raised him from the dead. That was all part of God's plan and purpose. We as a church are working in God's business. And the empty tomb, I believe, helps us to know what that business is today. We read that the women went to the tomb. They went to see Jesus. For they only knew that that's where he was. The angel says to them, do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus, verse 5, who was crucified, but he's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. You see, they was looking for Jesus in the place they thought he was. Just reminded me of the world and how the world, people you and I know, are looking, are searching. They're all actually looking for Jesus Christ, but they don't know that. What the world looks for, what the people of Soham are looking for, they're looking for hope, in a hopeless world. They're looking for peace in a hostile world. They're looking for love in a world of hate. They're looking for satisfaction where there is none. They're looking for answers. They're asking questions where no one has any answers. They look to religion, philosophies, world leaders, political ideals, personalities, lifestyles, careers. But all they search for, all they look for, in all their looking for fulfillment, all ends at the grave. You see, we live in a dying world. And all that is offer, all that is on offer, will pass away. Jesus died. Just like any other leader, just like any other man, Jesus died. And Pharisees, chief priests, thought that was it. Just like any other man, just like any other philosopher, just like any other teacher. Some of his teaching might remain, some of the good that he'd done, but he's gone. No hope, you see. Whatever's on offer in this world passes away. Jesus died. And like the rest of this world, the women go to a grave, go to a tomb. They search for the one they love. They search for the one who taught them. They search for the one they follow, and they go to a grave. That's what the world does. They search, they follow men, they follow women, they follow philosophies, they follow all, but it always ends up at a grave. But the difference and the uniqueness about Christianity is that when we come to the tomb is empty. That's the uniqueness of Christianity. The tomb is empty. He is alive. Death and the grave could not hold him. The women are challenged by the angel in Luke's gospel, and the angel say to him, "Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead?" You see, the tomb was the wrong place to find Jesus Christ. But it does point us to where Jesus is. It shows us what our business is. The empty tomb takes us to shows us what our business is. You see, as they come to the tomb and as they realize that Jesus is no longer there, they are given a commission. They're given a commission. They are shown what their role in the business is, in God's business. The angels say to them, "Now that you have seen he is not here, that he's alive, go and tell." And that's the business that you and I are in. In other words, you have come, you have seen, now go and tell. That's what we're about here, isn't it, on a Sunday morning? We come and see, we come and encourage one another that Christ has risen from the dead. We've sung about it this morning. We encourage each other in what has happened in our experiences through the past life, past week. And we are stirred again by the work of the Holy Spirit to know that Jesus Christ is alive, that he reigns, and that we have hope eternal. We come and we see, and Monday morning we go and tell. That's our business. That's what the women were told and encouraged to do. But they don't just do it on the say-so of the angel. The angel tells them to go quickly and tell, verse 7, go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead. That's your business, and he is going ahead of them. He will meet them. So we read that the women hurry off, but then verse 9, suddenly Jesus meets them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, they clasped his feet and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. You see, to acknowledge, to come to that open tomb, to acknowledge that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, demands two responses. The first response is to worship him, to realize that if he has been raised from the dead, truly he is the Son of God. Truly he is the eternal Son of God, and he alone is worthy of our worship and praise. And the women clasp his feet and they worship him. Why? Because the tomb is empty. And then they go to be witnesses. You see, our role is not just because we are told by the word to go and tell. Our role within the business to go and tell is because we have had a personal experience with Jesus Christ. We have had a personal experience with the living Lord Jesus Christ. The women go back to the disciples. We have seen him, you see. The disciples Jesus met with the disciples. You know the story. But Thomas, one of the disciples, wasn't there. When Jesus left them, the disciples went and met with Thomas and said, "We have seen him." Now, we can't see Jesus in that way today, but we can experience that. There's an account in Luke's Gospel where two disciples are walking home from Jerusalem. Jesus meets them, but they have no idea it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Once they realize that it is him, later in the conversation, they conclude this: "Didn't our hearts warm within us when he was speaking to us?" You see, it's not a physical experience. It is a spiritual experience. Jesus warms our hearts. We know, we can know not just the historical fact that the tomb was empty and that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, but we know through experience that that is true. And that's what happened here with these women. They did not just go because the angel told them. They went because they met with Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. They were afraid. Oh yes, because of all what we've just said, an earthquake, the soldiers, an empty tomb, the confusion. They were afraid, and yet we read they were also filled with great joy. We are in the business of pointing people to Jesus Christ. We need to be open. The stone needs to be completely rolled away. Open so that people will come and see and have the confidence to go and tell. The tomb is the Christian's confidence, but it is the world's challenge. The tomb challenges the world. You see, it is a historical fact that the tomb was empty. No one has ever disproved the tomb was empty. Many try to disprove the resurrection, but no one has ever disproved the empty tomb. That's the challenge. You see, Jesus is not there. Come and see. Challenge the world. Challenge those people. Come and see the empty tomb. What is your thought? You see, what is your opinion? What do you make of the empty tomb? What's your conclusion? The reality of the empty tomb must lead us to a personal encounter with him. There may be someone here this morning who is not a Christian, is not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I point you this morning to the empty tomb. What do you say about the empty tomb? What is your explanation of the empty tomb? There can only be one true explanation, that he's alive. He's risen. And if he is, then what are you going to do? What are you going to do? The tomb is empty. That's your challenge this morning. Think about that. And think about the consequences of the fact that if that tomb is empty, it is empty. And if that means that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, then where is he now? Well, the Bible says he's reigning, he's ruling. And one day he will come again. And he's the only person that matters. That's the only thing that counts. That the tomb is empty and he rose again from the dead. And the world needs to know that the tomb is empty. And you, my friend, as individuals, and I need to have an understanding of why that tomb is empty this morning. That tomb is a challenge to us all. That empty tomb is a challenge to us all here this morning. The empty tomb, you see, is critical to faith in Jesus Christ. It points us to his crucifixion, that he died, and it points us to his resurrection, that he is alive. And that's what the angel says to the Marys. Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead. That's the business that we should be in. I hope indeed that we're open to that this morning. Amen. We're going now to sing of the one who lives and brings us eternal life. We're going to sing of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our hope in life and in death.
Oh,
Almighty God, we thank you that the tomb is empty. We thank you that he is alive and alive forevermore. And he is the one that gives us now hope in life and in death. Lord, help us then this morning to have been encouraged that we have come and seen of the risen Lord Jesus. And give us, Lord, what we need to go out, to go and tell others that the tomb is empty and that Christ has risen. Bless us, Lord, as your people, we pray. Encourage us in all that we will do this week. May we know your blessing, your guiding hand upon us, we pray. For we ask it now in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.